If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.
Hello. Before I begin today's show, I want to tell you about a live improv comedy night I'm hosting upstairs in Chaplin's Bar in Dublin on Wednesday, April 26th. It's called Hooray for Comedy, and it's going to feature some of your favorite performers from this show. Headlining on the night is one of Ireland's best improv groups, Tumbleweed. That's Pearl O'Rourke and Kelly Shatter, who are both regulars on this podcast. Pearl's on today's episode. Opening the show will be myself and Mark Canton performing as the Mega Max Method, two deluded self-help gurus who are making it all up on the spot. And we'll have a performance from the amazing Bag of Cats, another Dublin-based improv comedy troupe. Doors open at 7 p.m. Show starts at 7:30. Tickets are available now on Eventbrite. That's Hooray for Comedy, Wednesday, April 26th in Chaplin's Bar. If you'd like to support this podcast, please do come along. And you can follow me at Phoning It In Show on Instagram and Twitter for more information on that and other live performances coming up. But for now, on with the show. Phoning It In. Phoning It In. If you're in a quandary, you've got dirty laundry, then you should be phoning it in. Hello and welcome to Phoning It In, the improvised phone-in show. My name is Dave Coffey. The usual phone lines are open, so get calling. We're going to kick things off this week with our topic of the week. This week we're talking about bad customer service. Astrid, you received bad customer service from a male escort, is that right?
Yeah, I was very disappointed at the end of it.
Why?
It wasn't what I was expecting, and it wasn't good value.
It wasn't good value. What happened?
Well, how much detail do you want, Dave?
I mean, yeah, as much detail as you're comfortable sharing.
I'm very open, transparent, and actually that's one of the reasons that I don't belong.
One of the reasons you what?
That I don't have a long-term partner.
Because you're too kind of open.
Too open, and people can't handle the truth, and people can't handle a woman's emotion.
Yeah. I get that.
I run the gamut daily. The full spectrum of feelings.
Of emotions, yeah.
And I was just hoping, and I'd written it in my order for the escort, that was the kind of thing that I was interested in doing. I wanted, like, a boyfriend experience.
That right.
I was going to be willing to put up with my full self.
The full gamut of emotions that you were going to be running through.
And all the other stuff.
Yeah. Oh, as in the like sexual stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so where did it go wrong then? Was it the...
And medical.
You were looking for medical services from the escort?
Well, a bit of kind of give and take.
I don't know. What do you mean by that?
Well, I just thought, like, that's my fetish, you see. Is
medical
procedures.
Yeah.
Like, small surgeries.
Small surgeries, yeah. Now, did you say giving and receiving?
Yeah. That's very specific. And obviously, when somebody, I mean, I've been looking for this for years, all over the globe. I've written this on forums and Facebook and everything, looking for somebody, anybody who's willing to do these three things. Emotions.
Yeah.
The sexual thing.
Yeah.
And on the side of that, the medical. The
surgeries and procedures and stuff, yeah. And was it that hard to find that? Because I would have thought, in the world of...
This makes me think you're into some interesting things, Dave, because most people would say that my particular flavour of intimacy is unpalatable.
I mean, it's unusual for sure.
But not unpalatable according to you.
I'm just saying, when there's money on offer, I would have thought, you know, you'd have a chance of finding someone who'd do it for you.
I would have found three people to do a bit of both, you know, a bit of each.
Each,
you know?
Yeah.
But I am not into that kind of thing.
You want one person who can deliver it all.
But like, three people, that would be disgusting.
Yeah, well, okay, fair enough. So you had an escort lined up.
Yeah.
Had they agreed in advance to take on all three?
Yes, they had agreed for a fee.
Of course,
As in, they agreed for a fee The fee the was for the agreement.
For the agreement, okay. And was there to be another fee to actually go through?
There was to be a rolling list of fees to be paid, which I liked.
Why did you like that?
I'm a bit into that too, the whole
just paying
dom thing.
Yeah, okay,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah.
So where did it go wrong then? Did you get to do a medical procedure?
It was an absolute mess, Dave.
Was this what happened?
I categorized what I wanted as a tweakment, you know?
A tweakment?
Yeah, you know, these small, kind of cosmetic.
Oh, yeah. What tweakment were you getting?
What was I getting? Well, I was hoping to get implants.
Yeah. In your what, sorry?
My knees.
Knee implants, okay. And these were cosmetic.
When I say my knees.
Yeah. What do you mean when you say your knees?
I mean my nipples.
Your nipples. Okay, so you wanted to have your
when
nipples.
I say my nipples. I mean my kidneys.
Your kidneys, okay. Why do you say your knees and your nipples when you mean your kidneys?
Well, I know people might judge me.
Sure. Yeah, but you're very open.
I'm very open, but I'm full of shame.
Right, okay.
Yeah,
So that it took you those kind of two, I suppose, fake answers to get
just
to the
now.
Truth.
Just like, now, yeah. You know, that's where I knew what I wanted.
So you wanted your kidneys enhanced cosmetically?
Yes.
To look like
better kidneys.
Okay. I'm not a doctor. That seems like it would be tricky enough. Of a procedure.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. And it didn't work. And okay. Now I'm on dialysis.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Okay, well, look, I want to bring on your escort. Brian. Brian, do you have any medical training at all?
Yeah, first of all, it's Dr. Brian Hennessy.
Okay, Dr.
And
Hennessy.
I do. I'm a qualified doctor. I've practiced in medicine for many years.
Okay.
Until... I'm sorry to get so personal right off the top, but lost my wife last year. I operated on her, ironically enough, and we lost her. And after that, you know, I said, I'm done with medicine.
Right.
I'm done with relationships. Right. I'm just going to try and get into, I thought, what's the opposite? Sex work?
Yeah. And well, I know it's the opposite, but it's different.
I'm a doctor, so don't correct me, because I have a big diploma to prove it.
Okay.
And...
No degree, just a diploma?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I studied medicine at the Carlo Institute of Technology.
Okay. Right.
Yeah. So, really, when I met Astrid... My first, I suppose, John, I'd call you. I don't know. My first, I was, you know, very upset to find out that I was being roped straight back into medicine and I was going to have to perform again. The one
thing. You should have read the whole ad. I mean, it was
very lengthy and wordy, and you kept contradicting. You said, I'm looking for a man, gentleman. Sorcerer, no, a man. Sorry, I got nervous about saying I wanted a man, so I talked about sorcerer.
Fair enough.
So, and it just kind of went on like that. You've been speaking to Astrid, you understand?
Yeah. Where was this at?
Daft,
okay. It's an unusual place for it. All right, yeah. And so when Astrid said to you, okay, look, as part of my service here, I want you to enhance my kidneys cosmetically. Did that give you pause, or were you like, okay, I can do that?
Yeah, I was taken off guard, and I was for a moment felt like leaving, and then I knuckled down and said, Brian, you've chosen this life.
Yeah.
You're trying to start a new career. Best put your best foot forward.
Yeah.
But again, Astrid, very confusing. Kidneys, implants, it kept changing, and so I'm just gonna stop. You know, skirting around it, I put tits in her knees, and now she's got knees, and I'm sorry, and I thought that's what she wanted, and evidently it's not what she wanted.
Okay,
the titty knees.
Yeah, you didn't make that obviously clear, Astrid, that it wasn't.
Did I not?
Well, I mean, I'm sorry, I'm asking.
I thought I made that very clear. Yeah.
Well, how do you feel now that you have titty knees?
Heavy.
Heavy around the knees, kind of? Okay.
Yeah. Like I'm wading through deep water. Yeah. Constantly.
Yeah, Dave, I don't know how much medical expertise you have personally, but the knees are actually very important when it comes to supporting the body's weight and with movement. They're quite a strong piece of bone and ligament and tendon, and it's a really complicated system. And replacing and replacing them with a balloon of water and nipple is... You can't really put any weight on that, or it's just going
to
pop.
Yeah, but you agreed to do it.
Yeah, I thought it's what I look. So one thing I learned in the Carlo Institute of Technology is that the customer is always right. Okay. And I wasn't going to be questioning the order.
Yeah, I suppose had you been still a doctor, would you have done it? Or was it only you're only willing to do it because you're an escort?
No, it would have been a serious case of medical malpractice. Yes, and as a doctor, I would have found it inhumane and a disgusting betrayal of my
Hippocratic oath.
But this wasn't Dr. Brian Hennessy. This was Mr. Brian Hennessy, the sex worker.
Yeah.
And, you know, them's the streets.
Yeah.
Now, can I just say that, having said all that, the titty knees thing is not why I was disappointed.
Well, why were you disappointed?
You seemed a bit put out when I was upset, when I was conveying upset about just, I hadn't been able to find parking outside the hotel that we were meeting at. And as I say, I'd warned Brian that what I was primarily interested in was three things, but one of those things was running the gamut of the emotions and to be there with me as I felt my big feelings. And he didn't.
Astrid, I'm sorry.
I said I couldn't find any parking. Yeah. Brian just shifted around in his seat and kind of looked from left to right with his eyes very visibly uncomfortable with my. And I hadn't even gotten to most of the emotions that I have.
Nice.
Dave, truthfully, I was very uncomfortable, and I'm sorry, Astrid. It was nothing on your end. It was my end.
Is it kind of triggering for you?
It's very triggering. You see, the last time I had been with a woman that upset.
Be professional. Leave your own things at home.
My wife died, okay? I killed her on the operating table.
It's a turn off.
Sometimes real life is a turn off.
What's this got to do with parking?
Well, the last time I was with a woman who was upset was my wife, who was quite upset that I had nicked a significant artery and she had seconds left to live. And she was, I tell you, well, I got an earful. And she was just bucketing blood.
So her blood couldn't park in her arteries?
No.
Is that what you're saying?
Astrid, all right.
Was she awake during this?
Yeah.
Why was she awake during an operation?
Well, she herself was a doctor and she didn't trust my skills under the knife. So she wanted to make sure I didn't nick any arteries. Now, I thought it was a huge, insult to my skills, but she was dead right.
She was
dead right. Although I would argue if she had been under, she wouldn't have been shifting around so much.
Probably wouldn't
have nicked the artery. So.
That's true.
You know, it's a bit of a chicken and the egg. We don't really know. So what I'm trying to say, Astrid, is...
I suppose I should count myself lucky.
Yeah.
Wait. I want to know though, was the sex part of it okay?
Phenomenal.
I wasn't asking you. I'm asking Astrid.
Oh no, if it's phenomenal for one person, it's phenomenal for the other person. It was absolutely phenomenal.
Mm. Okay. Well, look, Astrid. I'm sorry. I'm afraid your search for somebody who can offer all three continues. And I wish you, Brian, the best of luck in your.
I'll try my home.
Yeah, my home.ie, best place for it. Thank you to Astrid and Brian for phoning it in. I'm going to move on to some other calls now. My next caller, Maria, was not impressed by the limousine she ordered. What happened, Maria?
Dave, you don't realise what kind of lady I am?
Sure, tell us.
I'm a particular lady with particular tastes, Dave.
Yeah.
And I like luxury.
Well, you were getting a limousine, so I assume you like luxury.
Yeah. Name me a more luxurious car than a limousine.
Stretch Hummer.
No, Dave, that's shit.
I guess that's a kind of limousine, right?
It's a poor man's limo.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
So anyway, limo arrives.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bloody hatchback.
A hatchback limousine? How does that
no,
work?
No, it's a hatchback
oh,
car.
Oh, just a hatchback car.
Yeah, your man that I rented it off, Maris.
Maris, yeah.
Yeah. Said it was a limo service.
Yeah.
It's a hatchback car.
And where were you going, Maria?
I was just going to the shops.
You just take a limo to the shops normally, do you? Yeah. That's how fancy a lady you are.
Yeah, people need to know. The neighbourhood needs to know, you know. I mean business.
That you mean business. Yeah,
I'm not
sure.
Like one of those common povos, you know.
Yeah, who would get the bus or a taxi or whatever. Yeah.
I've never been on public transport in my whole life.
Okay, yeah. Not even like a train?
What's a train?
What's a train? Well, I don't want to get into what a train is. If you don't know what a train is, I just don't have time to explain it to you. So Mara showed up in the hatchback. Did he explain himself as to why it wasn't a limousine?
He said it was. He said it was a family size limousine. And I said, I said, Morris, I've been in more limos than you've had hot dinners, love.
Right.
I know what I'm talking about.
Because you get them to go to the shops
yeah.
every day.
Yeah. And, but no, he just wouldn't, you know, admit it.
Yeah, yeah. And did you get in it? Did you take it to the shops or did you say, no, I'm not getting in that?
I did. There was a few bits and bobs I really needed downtown, Dave. Okay, so yeah, I got
I'd
in.
Say you were so embarrassed being seen.
I was mortified.
Mortified, yeah. Did anyone see you?
Everybody saw me. And they probably all thinking now, you know, oh, look at her. She's just like us. She's not
yeah,
special.
Just a pavo or whatever you call it. Yeah. Okay, well, let's bring on Maris. Maris, the limo driver.
What if?
Was it?
It was, what if?
Yeah.
Imagine. What if I, imagine if I was to tell you that that hatchback was made of pure 16 carat gold. What if?
Imagine, but it wasn't. Imagine, it wasn't, Maris. It wasn't.
What if I told you to imagine it was?
Yeah.
This is what I'm talking about, Dave.
Well, let's see where he's going with this.
What if that car ran on liquid diamonds?
Wow.
What if the fuel... Imagine if that fuel cost $2 million... euro to fill the tank. What if, imagine, there was a golden goose, if you will, of a hatchback that laid little mini golden hatchbacks.
But there wasn't. And Morris, I saw you fill it up at the Tesco. There wasn't. It was diesel.
What has happened to people's curiosity, imagination, and sense of wonder, Dave? What if...
I mean, is it gold-coloured even, Maris?
Imagine.
No, I can imagine if it was. I can imagine if it was solid gold and it ran on diamonds. I can imagine all those things. But if none of them are true, like...
Oh, this is a sad bunch.
No, but I mean, Maria's paid for a limo. Not to use, she hasn't paid to use her imagination.
Well, most people say that you need to, you know, you value, the value you put on something is correlates to how much you pay for it. This is why people, you know, pay for expensive accountability programs, for example, for losing weight or doing exercise, you know?
Okay, yeah, yeah.
So they're not truly worth that money, but people value them as such.
Because
I offer an experiential service
yeah.
that demands you use your imagination.
Right, so it's worth the value because mm-hmm. you're facilitating the use of imagination to such a high level, kind
for
of.
That, precisely. Actually, that puts it very well.
Okay. Do you see that, Maria? Do you see that it's like... a kind of specialized service?
Maria, before you answer that, I want you to imagine that you have an imagination and then answer as such.
Can you imagine you're somebody with an imagination?
I'll try. Hold on. Okay. I'm going to try now. All right. I'm imagining I have an imagination.
Mm.
If I had an imagination, what would I imagine?
Well, we're asking you to imagine this car, the gold car.
I just can't do it, Dave.
Yeah.
I honestly can't. I just can't put myself there. I think it's an attack on me.
An attack on? Why is it an attack on you?
It's an attack on me to make me imagine something that's absolutely shit.
Right.
That I'm supposed to make it imagine that it's not shit, you know?
Right, that's interesting.
An attack.
Well, she sees it as an attack.
Morris, I'm very serious. I see it as a personal attack.
What if you didn't?
Well, I don't want to get into too many what ifs or what ifs or what ifs, because we have to get to, you know, we have to deal with facts as well, Morris. Mm-hmm. I want to bring in your boss.
Also, it's Maris.
It's Maris. Sorry, Maris. I want to bring in...
The lady said it right at the beginning.
Okay, sorry. I misheard. I want to bring in your boss, Butch. Butch, you run the limo company that Maris works for.
I do.
Now, are all of your limos imaginary, if you know what I mean?
Thanks for having me on, first of all, Dave.
No problem, Butch.
First of all, can I ask you to imagine?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you imagining?
I'm imagining, yeah.
I want you to picture a blank space in your mind.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
That's what my business started at. Just a blank warehouse with nothing. I built myself up from the ground up.
Wait, now, was there an actual warehouse or an imaginary warehouse?
No. Well, it started off as an imagined warehouse was step one.
Yeah.
Step two, I leased a warehouse with nothing in it. So I had both the literal and the imaginary in this case. And that's kind of what we're getting at here at Imagined Limos, is that... You imagine, if you can imagine something, you can realize it. And who's to say that someday Maris won't have a gold plated limousine that runs on liquid diamonds?
Yeah.
Certainly, if Maris didn't have the imagination to imagine such a possibility, it would never happen. So that's the first step towards achieving your goals.
I don't really see the upshot of it running on diamonds. I mean...
Oh, I'm sorry. You want the world to collapse under fossil fuel? Is it renewal?
No,
you want the clouds to be small?
Fuel.
Dave,
I don't know why that's
quickly,
a good thing.
Quickly, Dave. Can you imagine a world, where we've got clean diamond energy?
And the exhausts would be sparkly.
Maris, I hadn't imagined that, and it's a delight. I'm feeling very positive about this hire.
Do you do any other imaginary experiences? Because obviously limousine is just one service that we could imagine. You could have imaginary swimming pools or...
Well, Dave, as you can imagine, with imagination, the sky's the limit.
Exactly, yeah.
So we have what... Our premium experience is the imagination room, which is less room, more box.
A box, okay.
And we put you over the box... And then
you're
just
over
kinda,
the box. What do you mean?
We put you over the box. Like you lie on top of the box.
On top of it, okay.
Yeah.
Not in it.
Not in it.
On top of it, okay.
No.
All right.
That would be ludicrous.
Okay.
You lie on top of the box.
Yeah.
You know, you stuck inside a box, claustrophobic. No, you lie on top of the box. Right. And we put a blindfold on you.
Okay.
And then you're just free to go hell for leather,
imagination-wise. Why do I need to be on top of a box to do that?
Because you spend all day with your feet on the ground and you're grounded by a box.
Okay.
Is light and it's airy and it's unusual.
It
is unusual to lie on top of a box.
Yeah.
So it's not a weight you're used to feeling. We're used to feeling the sturdiness of a chair.
Sure, sure. But this would have to be a sturdy box.
The wobbleness of a cardboard box.
But this would have to be a sturdy cardboard box in order to take my weight, right?
Yeah,
or am
yeah.
I just collapsing
we
straight
had
to the box?
Some collapses, if that's what you're getting at.
Yeah,
if that's
what
you're circling around.
Yeah,
we've had many collapses.
Okay.
We've got almost 100% collapse rate.
Okay, well listen, Maria, obviously you've been listening in. What do you think of this imaginary room idea where you lie on the box and you can basically imagine you're anywhere in the world or the universe?
Well, Dave, I don't have a very big imagination, you know?
We've covered that, yeah.
But it sounds like something that, it sounds like something hippies would be into.
Yeah.
And I'm not a hippie, I'm not, you know,
You're a classy...
I'm a classy lady.
Yeah, Maria, I got it. My name is Butch. I'm the furthest thing from
Butch.
A hippie you'll get. I'm a practical man who lives in the practical world.
Oh.
And... I want to tell you something, okay?
Okay,
but I'm gonna name out some names, okay? And
okay.
These are probably some people you're big fans of. Ryan Tuberty, you like that man?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Noel Edmonds.
Oh yeah, I like him.
Graham Norton.
Oh yeah, he's very funny. Yeah.
Do you know what all these people are? They're dreamers. They're right. Imaginers, okay? None of them were born out of the womb presenters of amazing television programs. They imagined it, and that's the opportunity we've given you, and you squandered so selfishly.
Perfect examples of big dreamers.
The three biggest dreamers that have ever dreamed.
I just want my limo, Dave.
Noel Edmonds, I can definitely see, because Noel came up with the house party, you know, Deal or No Deal, that was him. Like, he's definitely dreaming big.
Tuberty came up with the Late Late Show.
He didn't, though. He just took over from
This
Pat
is a
Kenny.
Little known trivia, is that he came up with it as a very young child. And he said, look, this is my idea. I'm not ready for it. I'm a child. Give it to another couple of lads to kind of warm it up for me. Okay. And then I'll be there once it's established.
Is this true now, or is this just your imagination?
I have imagined this. Yeah, I did imagine that. You caught me out on that one. That was a bit of an imagination. But it felt real there for a second.
I just don't know if the maths adds up. Sorry, Maris, what were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say that I imagined that I was Ryan Tuberty's nanny, so could prove it.
In an imaginary sense, you could prove it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, we don't all work in imaginary worlds. I mean, I understand the benefits of this box, you know, where you can just imagine whatever you want.
But and it'll have an effect on all other facets of your life, may I tell you.
How's that?
I'm married to a woman who's way out of my league.
But imaginary?
No. No.
Really?
No.
So she is imaginary?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Can I ask who it is?
It's me, Dave. So myself and Maris were struggling on
this
the
This is
on
your
the
imagining. No, this is your imagining. So, this is your fantasy. Mine is Helena Bonham Carter.
Helena Bonham Carter.
And mine's Helen of Troy.
Oh.
And so we figured we're never going to get these women, yours, A-list celebrity, mine, famously dead. So, a bit of a two-way imagination deal, Aruni. We both imagine the other onto each other.
And we put each other over the box.
Say no more.
Okay, well, listen, guys, it's an absolutely great business plan. I wish you the best of luck with it. I'm sorry, Maria, that we didn't get any kind of compensation or any benefits for you.
You know, it's okay. It was an experience.
Yeah, it was a bad experience, but it was an experience nonetheless. Yeah. Thank you, Maria, Maris and Butch, for phoning it in.
Very good.
As I'm sure you know, Phoning It In is just one of the many excellent podcasts on the Headstuff Podcast Network. Here's a little teaser for another one you should definitely check out.
Fireside is the Irish storytelling podcast. Every week you'll hear tales of mythic Irish gods, Arthurian knights, or Norse Vikings. There is folklore from Ireland and around the world, and even historical legends like Brian Boru and Gráinne Whale. Whether from poetry or prose, lyric or legend, if there is a good story at the heart of it, you'll find it here. I'm Kevin C. O'Lahan. I'm your host and Fireside Bard. With over 150 episodes and rising, there has never been a better time to join us by the fireside.
If you like this show, please support it. The best way to do that is by leaving a review for us on iTunes, posting about us on social media, or just telling some friends about the show. We've been on a little break, but we're back and we want to get back into people's RSS feeds. So please tell your friends to check out the show. If you can afford it, you can also support the show financially by coming along to a live improv comedy night I'm hosting upstairs in Chaplin's Bar in Dublin on Wednesday, April 26th. It's called Hooray for Comedy, and it's going to feature some of your favorite performers from this show. Tickets are available now on eventbrite.com. More on this later on in the plugs. Thanks. My special guest joining me in the studio today is Emmy Calhoun, a professional alibi supplier who claims she can get people out of any fix by providing them with an airtight alibi at a reasonable rate. Emmy, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. Really good.
Now, we just had someone on a minute ago who kind of more or less admitted that they were a murderer.
Did they?
Well, they said they kind of implied that maybe they'd lock their...
Difference there, Dave. Yeah. Difference.
Well, they'd implied that they'd lock their mother into a barn and set fire to it.
Well, now, you're creating a lot of hypotheticals there and kind of creating a story there. And that's what juries do and that's what lawyers do and that's what, you know, people tend to do. You know, it's human nature to kind of create stories from different little tidbits of information. It's kind of like, you know, if you... write a sentence with only the first and the last letter of each word and you're reading it.
Yes.
You can actually read the sentence because you kind of tie it all together and it's kind of like that.
We kind of fill in the missing pieces of the jigsaw.
But I mean, your story that you're filling in there could be very different to the story that somebody else fills in.
The actual truth.
And very different from the truth again, but I mean, you know.
Yeah, yeah. No, I see what you're saying. But in that situation, would you be able to provide an alibi?
I mean, I wouldn't even need to provide an alibi there because there's no hard evidence, you know. But yeah. I mean, if there was hard evidence, absolutely, I'm going to provide an alibi for pretty much
for anything.
Well, yeah, I mean, absolutely. It's just storytelling, you know.
Yeah, but legally, though, if are you not on shaky ground? Like, I can understand you can provide an alibi to, let's say, hypothetically, a husband cheats on his wife.
For sure.
And then...
Oh, a very common story in the kind of tropes of life.
Yeah, yeah. And then the husband comes to you and says, I think she's figured me out. I need an alibi. I need
right
you.
There, I'd be like, right, you think this, you know, but like, let's take a little calm down here for a minute. Go on.
Sorry, yeah. And then he's saying, I need you to provide an alibi for me to say I was in this place so she thinks that I wasn't with this other woman.
Yeah.
Is that where you come in?
I mean,
what do you do?
Well, then we just start brainstorming, you know. We probably get a hotel room, the two of us, and put up some big sheets on the wall and then start brainstorming, you know.
Right.
And look, if things got hot, that's okay.
What do you mean by that now?
Sorry, I thought that was what you were asking.
What do you mean?
Because this guy's obviously, you know, into extramarital stuff.
Okay, so in that situation, you might end up having an affair with him.
I mean, this is a story, you know, and I mean, this is kind of like a hypothetical, but I mean, if things were going right, maybe I would.
Yeah, yeah. And that's kind of separate then from the alibi, right? You don't need to sleep with him in order to provide an alibi for him having slept with someone else.
But it does help if I can blackmail my own clients, you know.
Why does that help?
Oh, it just means that if they end up, you know, not being happy with the service that I provide or the
you
stories
can blackmail
that I
them.
Write, then blackmail them.
And they can't out you as a fake alibi provider.
I mean, I'd be a real alibi provider.
A real alibi provider, yeah. I tell you, it's complicated stuff. Leanne is on the line. Leanne, you used Emmy's service.
Yes.
But you're not happy.
No.
Why?
Because I lost my husband.
Right.
She was supposed to provide me with an alibi.
Yeah.
I've been dating George for, you know, several months and we got married. And I started hooking up with this other guy at the gym, you know, just a real... buff, kind of like, you know, just one of those things. It was just so physical. And George copped on. And I went to Emmy and we did the brainstorm.
Yeah.
She kept trying to fuck me, which was weird.
Yeah.
But we got through the brainstorm and she was supposed to provide me with an alibi.
Okay.
And she didn't.
Right.
And now George has left me.
But George left you. Oh,
George left me, yeah. Nice. And he's hooked up with her.
With Emmy?
Yeah, with Emmy.
Well, Emmy, this seems like bad practice.
And I paid her. So I literally paid her to steal my husband.
I know.
So you admit this, Emmy?
Well, I mean, you know, yeah, I do. I mean, I'm not going to, I have no need to create an alibi for myself.
Yeah.
I would hire someone else to do that.
Yeah.
So like just going to, yeah. That's what happened. And I know it was really tough on Leanne. Like, it was really tough, Leanne.
Devastated.
I'm really sorry, you know.
I'm 5 months pregnant.
Yeah, I know.
Wait, you're 5 months pregnant with George's baby?
Yeah.
It's definitely George's now, not this guy, the buff guy at the gym.
No, he's on roids. He could barely get it up.
Oh, so you were just
fooling around. It was just a passion. It was just a mistake. It was a stupid mistake, and I love George, and I want him back.
Okay. Yeah. Now, I got to ask first, though, Emmy, why didn't you provide Leanne with the alibi she hired you to provide?
Okay, so, look, you know, some people call me an alibi writer, some people call me an epic storyteller, and some people would say that I'm a writer of wrongs. Or I-T-G-H-T-E-R.
Yes.
Rather than a writer of wrongs, because I would only write rights.
You'd only W-R-I-T-E or I-G-H-T-E-S.
T-E-S.
Yeah.
And, you know, with something like what Leanne did, it was really sick. You know, so...
It was sick?
Well, it was pretty sick for George to have, you know, for you to get with that pumped up roid master.
Yeah, but I gotta say, Emmy, like, I would have thought of all professions, you would have to be very non-judgmental because your whole deal is providing people with alibis. Like, I assume the things they want an alibi for are not, like, usually the nicest behaviors.
Yeah,
you know?
So most of them end up pretty, you know, pretty down on their luck, shall we say, after I've had a little part to play in their day to day. You know what I mean?
I don't know what you mean.
I'm saying is once I find out, like, if they've been bad, you know, if they've done wrong, like, I'll make it my absolute raison d'etre to fuck up their lives. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Can I make it any clearer?
Yeah, I just don't see how that jives with your whole business model. Like, you're supposed to be providing people alibis. It sounds
like I'm independently wealthy. Okay.
Yeah. So people come to you looking for an alibi.
Yeah.
And instead, you decide to right the wrong that they've done, which is the whole reason they're looking for an alibi in the first place.
Right.
Right.
W R I T.
Yeah. So you R I G H T the
wrong. I do write alibis. You know, but they're just kind of part of the play.
The
big game.
Right. Okay. Well, look, Cormac is on the line. Cormac heard you and he needs an alibi pronto. Cormac, I'm not sure if I can recommend Emmy's services after her description.
Yeah. You took the words right out of my mouth there, Dave. It sounds like this is more like revenge. You seem to be some kind of a vigilante. Some sort of and I've done some terrible, despicable, unspeakable things.
Just today. Yeah.
And I'm questioning why I'm even on the radio talking about it. I made a lot of questionable decisions today, Dave.
Break the habit. What were you gonna say?
I was just gonna say, like, now you've got our you know, our minds are going into overdrive. So probably what you did isn't even as bad as what we all think you did now, you know.
Yeah, I can feel the little machinations already. And I was getting lured into the temptations for an alibi. Mm. And I'm going to try and stay strong. Because I know, just from listening to this program, if I accept this alibi offer, my life's going to blow up. But Dave, I am tempted.
Yeah, because you've done some
despicable things.
Right. I mean, can you? Sorry?
No, it's too late for him. You know, I'm going to get him.
You're going to get him? You don't even know what he did.
Did you hear the scale of menace he thinks he did himself?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I feel bad now, Cormac, because you came on looking for an alibi. I obviously made it sound like you would be able to get one from professional.
Feel bad for this guy.
Yeah.
And I don't know what he's done.
And Dave, you should feel bad because we're actually great mates and we were having coffee all morning. Isn't that right, Dave?
You and me?
Yeah, we were having coffee all morning and I was busy having coffee with you all morning.
Yes, we met up earlier on and we had lots of coffee.
Had lots of coffee when that unspeakable national tragedy was happening
what
in a different
was
location.
What was that tragedy that happened at another location?
The burning down of Buckingham Palace.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Which, of course, I was
you were not a part of because we were having
in.
Coffee no. at the time.
Well, this we're having is coffee. Difficult for me.
Hmm?
This is a difficult one for me.
Why?
You know, just...
You're not a royalist?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Okay. So what are you saying then? You might let Cormac away with this?
I might get him good.
Oh, you might get him good, even though...
As in get him good. Get him in a good way.
Oh, get him in a good way.
Like, help me out.
That's right.
So, like, hypothetically, which I'm not at all admitting to, if, for example, I was...
Somebody
was watching The Crown with their partner and really got invested in the show and really felt like some shady stuff was going down and had a couple too many rock shandies and went down to Buckingham Palace and just set it ablaze, you, in that hypothetical situation, might actually feel like you could help that person with an alibi.
I think that this is beyond my pay grade, and I think we should hire somebody else to step in. I could just recommend somebody else. I'm
who? Can we get them on the line?
Look, I've never written an alibi in my life.
What?
This is just I mean, I've only really done the revenge thing. The alibi thing was a real, you know, it's a cover. You know,
it's a cover. It's an alibi.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna. Well, yeah, I don't think I've ever seen such a terrible liar in my whole life, and I've experienced a few liars watching The Crown. I know a thing or two about lying, and you're bad at it.
Well, listen, Dimitri is on the line. Dimitri, you say that you can actually provide alibis.
Yes, I have all the alibis for everybody.
Okay.
And it depends what you're thinking of. Is it serious or not so serious? But I can do both.
Very serious.
Oh, very serious. Yeah. It would cost, Dave.
A lot?
It would cost quite a lot.
Okay, so let's say, hypothetically, someone had too many rock shandies, which is a non-alcoholic beverage, so I don't know why that would... have any effects.
I would get you very giddy and very hyper.
Okay. Too many rock shandies, and they may or may not have like burnt down a royal residence, a famous one. What would that cost for an alibi?
It would cost your firstborn child and the bone toe of your grandfather. The bone toe of your grandfather.
Which
on your
toe?
Mother's side. The big bone toe.
The big toe.
Yeah.
Big bone toe.
Left or right?
Left.
Left, okay. Just that? Those two things?
Yes. Because I work on a system of magic.
Okay.
And clairvoyantry.
Clairvoyantry?
Yes. Okay. And I use the universe as my vessel.
Okay. couldn't you just like lie and make it up?
No, Dave, no.
Okay.
You see, the universe needs to be a part of the truth and the untruth.
I know what you mean. You actually need to bend reality to make the alibi actually have happened.
Yes, Dave.
Right, well, that's a, in fairness now, Cormac, that's a much better service.
That is the bending of reality. It sounds now, and I don't want to be casting any aspersions, oddly like the plot of Spider-Man No Way Home.
I've never
did
seen
it. Did they need a bone toe?
There was no bone toe involved, but it did involve a young rapscallion who made a mistake going to a wizard who casts a universe changing spell to cover up a truth that has been released into the world.
But Cormac, right? Doesn't this seem like a much better service than just somebody writing? Or IGHT or WRIT writing a made up alibi?
Well, look, I'm not a person, to be clear, who needs an alibi, but I'm going to put myself in the headspace of someone hypothetically who would need an alibi. And these both seem like awful, terrible options. Because I've got A, I've got some sort of a revenger, yeah, listen, some sort of a swindler, yeah, some sort of a self-admitted...
I'm not going to bat for Emmy anymore. Emmy, this is a mistake.
Whole kinds of chicanery that I'm no fan of. But then on the other side...
Dimitri over here.
We got a universe-altering demonic, and I don't know if you've seen...
No, the devil
the
is
toll of a
king.
Grandfather is demonic talk. Okay, that is real demon talk. Okay. And I don't know how familiar you are with the film Spider-Man No Way Home.
I have
but
seen,
there are a whole bunch of green goblins and Dr. Octopuses and Electros out there in universes I'm not even familiar with. And
those
I don't want to...
Those are specific consequences that came about due to that specific spell going wrong.
I don't know much about other universes outside of my own universe.
Perhaps this would just end up with loads of like princes and queens. And
I don't even like the sound of that. I don't like the inclination of that.
I can tell you what happens, Dave. If you had to cast a spell for Cormac for the universe to bend, for say, if he had hypothetically burnt down Buckingham Palace.
After, for the record, a few too many rock shandies.
After a few too many rock shandies, what would happen then is the universe will guide him in a path that he would never be caught. But then also half of the marine life would not exist as it does today.
Marine life. In the world. That's pretty...
That is a deal. I'm sure this person would hypothetically snap up in a heartbeat.
Really? They wouldn't care about that at all?
I think that would be a selfish thing for this hypothetical person to do, because obviously the marine life is very important to the world's ecosystem.
Incredibly. But this person, half of us? Are
hypothetically,
you kidding me?
Yeah. But hypothetically, this person would be in a lot of trouble for burning down the Buckingham Palace and would have a bit of a fear of the Dr. Octopuses and the Green Goblins and the princes and the princesses coming through universal holes. And so with all of these being possibilities in their very near future, a couple less whales and fish, I'm sure for that person wouldn't be so bad, hypothetically.
I would absolutely love to know kind of the connection between how... the bending of the reality with the Buckingham Palace thing links to the fish with no other, you know, major changes there in between.
Can you spell that out for us, Dimitri?
It's very simple. So the Buckingham Palace, which as it stands now is burnt down, they either, you know, investigate and Cormac is put up for...
Or a hypothetical Cormac.
I think for hypothetical sake, let's call this mystery assailant Cormac. Yeah. But it's just a coincidence that it's also my first name.
Sure.
Common name.
And within that, Cormac, as the universe bends and Cormac disappears into the background, they realise or they believe that it was... the Americas that had launched the attack on them.
Okay.
UK end up submerging a million of their submarines to attack the Americas.
Right.
And on the way to attacking the Americas, the submarines hit a large school of whales.
Right.
And explode.
This is kind of nuclear submarines we're talking about now, is
it?
Right, okay.
And it causes extreme damage to the ocean.
Yeah,
world.
Well, it would. Yeah, yeah. Atomic blast.
Very clear. That's quite directly linked. I thought there was going to be a whole lot of links in that chain, but
no, it's
just one
straight.
Really
yeah, one
very
to
simple
one.
Idea.
Yeah.
Now, Dave, would you seem to be a man who's got your head screwed on straight? Hypothetically, would you? Would you consider it to be a selfish act for a person to enact this nuclear marine holocaust just to get themselves out of a personal issue?
Yeah. Yeah, because it's like that's... I can't imagine what kind of havoc that's going to wreak, you know, on not just on the oceans, but the knock-on effect that's going to have on the entire planet.
Yeah, I'll remind you, Dave, though, that hypothetically
like how many
someone
millions
in
of
this
people
situation,
are going
like,
to die...
Yeah.
Because of this Cormac, not you,
this Cormac,
the hypothetical
Cormac.
Is that selfish to just try and escape his despicable acts?
But, like, let's first of all...
Do you have any kids out of interest?
I do. I have an eldest son.
Right, okay.
His name is Cormac.
Cormac as well.
Named after his, and he is the absolute apple of my eye.
Okay.
and he will hypothetically be missed.
Right. I'm afraid we're out of time. We're not going to find out how that one ended. I want to thank all my callers today, but I especially want to thank Perla O'Rourke, Kate Moylan and John Spillane. Folks, do you have anything you want to plug?
Oh, yes. There's going to be the last Thursday of April. There's going to be a meet in Mob Theatre. And then, so come along to that. It's a comedy variety show. Sorry, I just did a really bad job. So it's a comedy variety show last Thursday of the month in Wigwam. It's Mate and it's aligned with Mob Theatre. And then Mob is on every Thursday night in Wigwam.
Brilliant. John, do you have anyone to plug?
Yeah, I'm doing the Edinburgh Fringe. If you want to go to the Edinburgh Fringe. Cool. And look, if you're listening to this, you are an improv nerd. Well, guess what? My bloody show's improvised. What?
What?
Very lazy and unprofessional for me. I didn't write a show. So you can come to that. It's from April 3rd until April... August 3rd. Okay, correct that. What? August 3rd to 27th in the City Cafe. Or just find me on Instagram and there'll be details up there.
And you've probably got other shows coming up in the meantime.
I have other shows in the meantime, but none of those have any kind of emotional significance to me. And I don't really care about them all that much. Okay, and I'm really just gung-ho on this Edinburgh thing. And I will be, pardon the pun, phoning those shows in and not really caring so much. I'm focused on the big dance.
I want to plug, actually, and this will loop Pearl in as well. I want to plug a night that I'm hosting upstairs in Chaplin's Bar in Dublin on Wednesday, April 26th. It's called Hooray for Comedy. And it's going to feature some of your favorite performers from this show. So headlining the night will be Pearl's group Tumbleweed.
Yes, that's me and Kelly Shatter. We haven't done a show in quite a while. But very excited to get back up there with her.
One of the best improv groups in Ireland, I would say. Stop. If not the best.
Yeah. Stop it.
And myself and Mark Canton will be performing the Megamax Method, two deluded self-help gurus who are making it all up on the spot. And we'll also have Bag of Cats joining us on the night as well, another great improv team. So that's at 7:30 on Wednesday, April 26th. Tickets are available on Eventbrite. And it's called Hooray for Comedy. And you can follow me on at Phoning It In Show on Instagram and Twitter for more information on that. Brilliant, guys. Thank you. Thank you to the Headstuff Podcast Network for having us and to Bobby Ahern for our theme music. That's all for this week. Thanks for listening. Phoning it in. Phoning it in. If you're in a quandary, you've got dirty laundry, then you should be phoning it in. Boo, boo, boo. This show is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Headstuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com. If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.